look at me. I call the August 5th meeting of the Planning Commission to order. Commissioner Marks, would you lead the group in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
All rise.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
And Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes. Thank you. I'd like to open it now to the public. If you'd like to speak on any item that is not on tonight's agenda and over which the Planning Commission has jurisdiction, please approach the podium and state your name and address for the record. Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment portion and bring it back for disclosure of ex parte communications. Let's start with Commissioner Marks.
I visited all of the sites on this evening's agenda.
Nothing to report.
I spoke with no one.
I too visited the sites but spoke to no one.
I visited the West Front Village project but spoke to no one except the fellow commissioner who was there.
I also visited the West Front site and have no ex parte to report.
I spoke to no one.
Thank you. Let's move on to the consent calendar, approval of the minutes.
Excuse me,
Commissioner
Chairperson Fonzie, as far as Planning Commission business.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There were a couple of things, and I don't know whether this is the proper time, but Planning Commissioners received one letter about Kennedy Motorcycles and then received a communication from Community Development Director Warren Frace about Eagle Creek, and I didn't know if Mr. Frace was going to address that during his comments later or now.
I think that would be probably more appropriate under Planning Commission business towards the end of the agenda.
Okay.
If that's acceptable.
Yeah, I'll cover it then.
Very good. Yes, you may.
Being new with regards to ex parte, I'm under the impression that it's simply conversations, so should I be, if I've been visiting sites, make that public, whether or not I've spoken to someone?
Yes. Would you like to explain that, Warren?
Because I haven't been visiting simply because I haven't been speaking to anyone, and I just want to be clear on what I should be doing.
Yes, you're not required to disclose if you visited the sites. That isn't ex parte communication. But if you speak with anybody associated with a project, either for or against, you should disclose that.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to the consent calendar. Let's go with item one first. I know I had some changes to the minutes. Does anybody else have changes to the minutes of June 17, 2008?
I contacted Annette regarding a misspelling.
Okay, very good. It's probably the same one I caught, which was rod iron on page 6 should be wrought with a W.
Actually, the word wasn't spelled wrong.
No, I agree.
And I can understand why she thought it that way.
It certainly sounds like it's rod. Yeah. I would agree. Okay. Commissioner Moreno?
Regarding public comment, Lene Bloomfield, it's not Linnea, L-I-N-E-A is what's in the minutes. It should be Lene, L-Y-N-E with an accent over the E.
Okay, very good. And I had an addition on page 14 in the commissioner's comments. I asked for additional information from staff regarding low-impact development, LID, and drainage impacts, which was not in the minutes. Can we have a vote on approval of the minutes with the changes?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner O'Grady. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Hetherington. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Abstain.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack? Vice Chairperson Jack, excuse me.
Yes.
And Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes. We have two other items on the consent agenda, the approval of a time extension for 1155 El Camino Real. Does anybody have any questions about this or would like staff input? Commissioner O'Grady.
Yeah, I'd like to pull items 2 and 3 for discussion.
Very good. All right. Warren, would you like to tell us about these two items or take them one at a time?
I'll just refer that over to Steve McCarris, and I think he's got some information on both.
Thank you. Steve?
Well, I'm going to, I guess, make an assumption of the reason the items were pulled was for the dates.
Well, I could maybe expedite this a little bit. As I understand it, one requirement for approval of an extension is that the filing, the time of filing for the extension, it's done in a timely way. In other words, before the entitlement has expired. And yet I did not see any dates for either items 2 or 3 as to when.
Extended the last year's extension based on a date of May 20th. And in going back and looking through the file, the project actually should have been based on the date of May 4th. When we looked at the records and the dates, they weren't adding up. I'm not sure where the 20th date came from. However, that's what was recorded. So the first extension was fine. It did come in before the May 4th, so that was still valid. However, your approval of the extension actually approved it a little bit further to May 20th. So we still would accept that for the second extension. However, looking at it, we wanted to set it right and bring it back to the original correct approval date, which was May 4th. So with tonight's approval of this item, we would then use the May 4th through the life of the tentative map.
And the approval date will not be July 15, as stated in the statute.
No, that was actually based on, as Ms. Gleason had mentioned in her email to you, that based on the previous meeting, we thought this was going to be before you at an earlier date, and we didn't make that date. So we just didn't update it to tonight's date in which you may approve this extension.
So for future time extensions, could the staff report, besides stating the approved dates and the expiration dates, also state the receipt of the request? So that
yes, we think that's a good idea. So when we give you that little matrix in the staff report of when these things came in and when they're approved, they're a little confusing, they'll have that additional when it came in. So you will have a record to make your findings that everything was done in a timely manner per the MAP Act.
Thanks very much.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Steve, the updated copy of the conditions of approval for number 2. Is there a nexus between the two documents?
The updated conditions. The conditions are actually the correct conditions. Is there a nexus? I assume you could say that. They are the conditions that are there for your information as you're renewing or as you're extending this map, just so you know what the conditions were originally. They haven't changed.
Okay, so then the document that we received in our packets were not the conditions. It was just
that's correct. They were the document that was attached in your packets are incorrect. The documents before you are to replace those documents. For the record, they're very similar. They were slightly incorrect, so we wanted them correct.
I guess I'm trying to figure out why they were slightly incorrect.
It was a staff error. They came from a different project that was very similar, so they look almost identical, but upon a closer look, we saw some numbers that were not correct.
Okay, and that was the attachment title was
correct
for this project, but it was attached to
something which made it more misleading. So we did correct it.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions for staff regarding items 2 and 3? Seeing none, do I have a motion to approve items 2 and 3 of the consent calendar?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Jack. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Marks. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Results passed 7-0.
Thank you, Suzanne. We'll open it now to a public hearing. We have one item tonight, and this is an amendment to CUP 2003-0108, located at 9000 West Front. Staff report, please.
Thank you, and good evening. This is the West Front Village project. It is a dealing with an approved conditional use permit master plan of amendment. This is actually going to be an amendment to the to a portion of the approved master plan. It's located along West Front Road. Project location, I'm sure you're familiar with it, along U.S. Highway 101 at West Front and Portola. Most of our discussion is about the area located at the corner there. The existing conditions are the project is underway. Portions of it are complete. As I go through this, we'll probably talk a little bit more about what was approved and what's been built. But you see the hotel is part of the West Front project. The graded paths along West Front to Portola are part of the project. And there's an area behind a split-face block wall that's a residential area that is also part of the overall originally approved master plan. We're going to be dealing with a specific portion of that master plan. These are just more photos of the site. The street frontage improvements are all in place, curb, gutter, sidewalk, the widening of the road, bike lanes, and these depressed areas are actually drainage detention basins that also, most of them also will serve as, after the landscaped, as wetland mitigation. So a little bit of background. On September 27th, it is a minor amendment that when they separate those buildings out, of course, there would be some adjustments across the site, which particularly deal with the site plan and landscape plan. Of course, now that we have a fast food facility that is really driving this, they're working with the applicants in definitely wanting to locate to the site. They have definite plans, and those are the plans that are in your packet and we'll be reviewing tonight as well for the fast food drive-through. You have at the lower portion of the screen the square footage, the separation of buildings, 3,766 square feet of fast food restaurant and 1,254 square feet for the gas station and the four gas pumps. So this slide shows the overall master plan, which was quite a large site, a little over 13 acres. And the back portion of it was residential, and primarily the front portion was commercial, and there's a little commercial in this location. The area that we're discussing tonight is strictly dealing with this area that we've circled here in red. So the hotel is already constructed, so you can just imagine everything north of the hotel to Portola and back along this this block wall. We'll get into more detail in a moment here, but that's the area we're focused on. So with that, this slide now deals with that portion I just described. The existing hotels here. Again, this is just a portion of what I just showed you, the upfront along West Front, and the area that is in your packets and analyzed in the staff report is this portion, which is essentially this area. Within this area here, we have the fast food, where the fast food and gas station combined were located here. Now it's just the fast food. The gas station itself had the canopy here. It's been pushed over a little bit in this location with the gas station building located here. As you see, some of the parking circulation adjustments to accommodate the separation of the two buildings. The drainage detention facilities, as they were conceptually drawn here, are still located in the same area. They did become a little bit larger to accommodate the amount of drainage that was required for the site. That's viewed as a plus. It allows more landscaped area along this edge to create a nicer finished edge. As I mentioned, the hotel is in. And along the back between the hotel and where the gas station is remains another 5,000 square foot pad that was located here in the master plan. It is still located in the same vicinity, just again with minor adjustments in the circulation and landscaping and parking. So now we're really focused in on the area of discussion. Within this area, we have again along West Front There are actually three detention facilities here for drainage and landscaped, as well as mitigation for wetland. We have two entrances in this area, one along Portola. Just to point out, the 101 southbound exit for West Front is located here. There's a three-way stop located in this area, so one would be able to travel to the site via Portola or travel down West Front and into more of the central portion of the site to access either the Jack in the Box facility or the gas stations or future developments here, the restaurant or whatever retail commercial happens in this location. There's also a connection to the Holiday Inn Express. Although these improvements aren't in, they would be in the future. So speaking of future, the project applicant has made it very clear as to how this project would be phased, and that would be of interest to the commission as well. Currently, as we've mentioned, Jack in the Box is the lead tenant here that is requesting with the applicant the separate facility. So with the Jack in the Box, there's the question of what else would be developed and how this would be phased. At Jack in the Box is real. The other portions are future. When tenants sign up, then they will probably be built to suit or something of that nature. So these areas here are considered a future phase. So with this approval, the scenario here is that the first phase would be not only the Jack in the Box facility and in and around it, which is also on its separate parcel, but the front portion improvements in terms of the driveway and the parking and the landscaping along the edge that's associated with this area. Behind this dash line would be remain graded, rough graded pads until the applicants knew exactly what was to be built. So this could end up a variety of uses. Nobody's quite sure exactly what will happen yet. So that should be clear with the commission. Now we're on to the architecture. This is a approved architecture or conceptual architecture from the master plan. And it's simply showing the style, the Mediterranean Spanish style with the tile roofs and the arched recessed windows, all the characteristics that you would imagine in that style of architecture, which was the theme. There was I might have these a little bit of elements along West Front. The slide, although dark, shows the hotel, and as most of you indicated, you've been out to the site. The hotel also incorporates bricks, so that was something that wasn't necessarily incorporated originally in the commercial area, the rest of the commercial area, but we did incorporate that into the Jack in the Box, which would be part of the theme, as well as even the signage, the monument, or the base of the signs that would go into place, which are part of the original approval. These are the drive-through elevations of the Jack in the Box. They also show the main signs. The Jack in the Box logo sign is located in three locations, and those are the only signs that are being requested at this time. The use of brick is located with this shading here, and it's located throughout and wraps around most of the elevations. The arches, the recessed windows, the awnings, all consistent, and actually improved upon from the original conceptual drawings, primarily because of the hotel. The hotel came in. They worked very well with the city, and they did provide some upgraded materials, and that's what we're reflecting here and would reflect throughout the site. Other elevations. This is actually the elevation you would see from the off-ramp through the landscaping, and there would even be a retaining wall along here, so where the cars are queued, you wouldn't see the cars queued up. It would maybe the possibility the top of higher vehicle profile vehicles. These are the gas station elevations. So this is the gas station building. Similar treatments: the tile roof, stucco, the brick, the awnings, recessed window entry treatments. Other gas station elements. Notice where we have the blank walls, both in the Jack in the Box and this, we have trellis elements that would be in landscape planter to take care of those elevations and the canopy. So if the gas station were to be become reality, it most likely would appear as you see today. In terms of CEQA, the project hasn't changed in terms of its impacts, so part of your approval is that this project is consistent with the original certified mitigated negative declaration. Your CUP findings are in your staff report, as on the screen here. Now with your alternatives, you have as we talked about, this is a very focused amendment on the site. You could require modifications of the site plan that you would discuss tonight and still be able to approve the project. As an alternative too, you could refer the items back to the applicant and staff if you needed additional information, as with any project. Or three, if you got to a point where you thought you were to deny this amendment request, we'd like to have you specify why, make a finding as to why you would be taking such action, and we just want to emphasize that the original master plan of development would remain in effect for combined gas station fast food, so it would go back to the original master plan. Basically, nothing would change. There are a couple administrative things that we'd like to take care of tonight, changes to conditions of approval. This is in discussions with the applicant. Item condition number 10 has one area here, one item, and I'll read it to you. It states, all areas shown on the landscape plan shall be landscaped by the developer prior to the final of any single building permit on site. Well, because of the phasing that we discussed earlier in this presentation, we're not able to accomplish that condition, nor was it the intent for us to accomplish that condition. So because the project won't be done all at once, the landscaping wouldn't be done all at once. So we're just simply striking that. We're asking you to acknowledge that change, as well as there's two conditions, number 12 and 15. They both have to do with filtering drainage, which ends up in the mitigation area. Well, in discussing this with the applicant, condition number 11 covers that concern, and it covers it in allowing us to be more flexible when we're plan checking this for two reasons. One, for flexibility, but two, for the purposes of that site has been graded, and most of the drainage facilities are in place. They're in the ground at this time. So it's not easy to just say we're going to change drainage around. Most of those improvements are in place. So we want to be flexible in how we achieve any kind of changes in the drainage. So we're going to leave condition 11 in, and we believe that 12 and 15 will be redundant. So we're just asking for you to strike those. And we've 12 and 15, we've done that. So this is our recommendation on the screen. So at some point, this is what staff and the applicant are looking for. And I believe that does complete my presentation. I know Director Frace would like to comment on this as well.
I just wanted to add a few points of clarification. I know this is a little complex in terms of this process where we come back and amend a previously approved projects. But just want to remind everybody, this was approved by the City Council in 2005. The direction he's given to me is that the rest of the project is not on the table tonight. We can't make amendments. If you deny this, all we do is leave the existing entitlement in place. If there's questions or concerns, staff, myself, and Steve are definitely here to help try to clarify any questions or concerns that you might have.
Thank you, Warren and Steve. Just a point of clarification for me and perhaps as would be on the other commissioners. This, what we can alter is perhaps the design and appearance of the building or the position of the signage or other landscape features, but not the use itself. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? Commissioner O'Keefe.
When this project was approved, was the issue of with regard to the drive-through, because they stay open late at night, lights, the headlights impacting the neighborhood across the street? There was a lot of issues because this was a complicated project, but I don't remember that ever being discussed.
No, I don't recall that being discussed either. I believe in terms of if we're just referring to, there's two types of lights, of course. The site lighting would be addressed as always in these projects, so we shield and we make sure that we have direct cutoff lights and we don't have glare, visible glare. So everything's shielded, hooded, lights, the lighting stays on site. The headlights, the only issue that we could see here, just looking at the site plan, is cars exiting out of the drive-through.
That's what I'm talking
potentially
about, because I think that residential development was in the process of being developed also when this was being looked at. And it was just something that I noticed when I was out there.
Well, yeah, I think Warren's just mentioning to me one other thing. It was a visual item is the wall we have along the drive-through. That wall actually was set up to, well, there's two walls, actually, but that wall is set up to screen the queuing of cars just for aesthetics. And actually, as you're driving through there, you would see that headlights would pretty much just hit that wall. In terms of the residential to the west, we have that buffer wall and landscaping. But I believe you're referring to cars leaving the site, mm-hmm. exiting out onto Portola. Mm-hmm. In that case, that driveway would be there either way. We have commercial facilities, and we're hoping for restaurant pad, as you may recall. And, in fact, maybe the development of this site will encourage that other 5,000-square-foot pad to come into play as a restaurant, and we would have later night patrons as well. But there's not anything we could do in this location once you're exiting out of the street.
So it was probably just an oversight then in discussion.
It may have been or wasn't a concern at the time. It definitely did not come up.
Okay, and then there's just another question which has nothing to do with this part. I noticed that there's a chain-link fence by the hotel. Will that come down once the rest of the project is developed?
Yes, that is definitely a construction fence, and there's no chain-link fencing on this project whatsoever. It is all, as you might recall, actually we spent a lot of time on high-quality walls, as you see, that have been constructed now.
The walls, is one of the things I recalled, is that the applicant originally wanted to put a wood wall up at the back, and I hope that the commission will take note at, and also the applicant, how much it improves the quality of the project. I know this is an inappropriate time to say that, but yes, I did notice how nice those walls looked.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Hetherington?
Steve, on the conditions of approval, you said that 11, 12, and 15 were going away, or 12 and 15 were going away and 11 was staying?
No, 11 would stay. Okay. And 12 and 15 are actually redundant. They're very specific to a type of drainage improvement.
And so that's going away, the fossil filters?
That's what we're asking for, those to strike the fossil filter.
Why do you want to get rid of those filters?
Because we're not sure that they're going to be accomplished. Then we're not sure that we can accomplish those exactly at this time. It's too early for us to know. This project has come in after the site improvements have been made. So that's one reason. The second reason is I'm not sure at this point in time if they're required. So I don't have enough information.
You don't know if they're required, but yet you're striking them from the condition.
Right. I don't know if they're required, but what I'm saying is condition 11, if they are required, condition 11 is one of the ways to allow us to require them. The project still has to go through an implementation process beyond what we're seeing here, which is a conceptual approval. So what we have in those two conditions are very specific to a drainage improvement. We're not prepared to commit to those.
You're not prepared to commit to those?
This early.
They were conditions of approval of this project.
Correct? No, they weren't. That's the confusion here. They were added in. They shouldn't have been added in. This process in this project that's before you went through a very, very expedited review to bring it to you tonight to allow the applicants to put this deal together so that Jack in the Box, because Jack in the Box may not have been a viable candidate if the process took too long. So in a short period of time, we put this project together for you, these conditions together. Those two conditions should not really have been on there after further review.
I think if I could just add a little bit to that. What's unique about this site is that those basins in the front actually are required as mitigation wetlands, which was part of the original permit. There was wetlands on the site that were displaced. They have to be recreated. So there's a biologist, and then there's an Army Corps of Engineer permit and a whole review process tied to the recreation of those wetlands. So I think what we're trying to say is that we're not sure if the conditions 12 and 15 are consistent or might conflict with whatever those federal permitting requirements are. There's going to be a thorough review and design of those wetlands that's going to be required by the federal wetlands process. So we added these conditions just for this item that's come before you, but as we've reviewed it, we realize that they may be in conflict with 11. We think 11 is very thorough and broad, and that the federal process will make sure however they need to be designed will be done to the correct standard. So we don't want to create a conflict, and that's why we're suggesting that 12 and 15 may be redundant, and it's probably best to take those off and just leave 11 in place and let the federal wetlands permitting process deal with all the water quality issues.
And you're saying that this was overlooked because you did it in haste?
Well, we did have just a couple weeks to put this together. Public Works suggested those as conditions of approval. They would be fairly standard on any other project. This project's a little unique just because of the wetlands conditions and all the existing approvals already on the project. And as we've looked at it, we've realized that it may be redundant, and it's our suggestion to the commission that we probably don't need these conditions, that it might be something that hamper the project.
But shouldn't the process go that you come to us with the exact language that is in the federal regulatory language for wetland recreation? Because those are pretty well-known standards.
Well, we don't want to pin down to specifics, because it's been our experience that we leave it up to the agencies and the biologists to work out the exact specifications. A lot of times there's a lot of work that's done in the field where they determine what the standards are. We don't know what they're going to be at this point, so we tend to have our conditions written so they're more flexible to allow whatever the proper mitigation or the latest best management practices are to be implemented, rather than trying to pin down a solution too early.
Commissioner Jack?
Steve, has the issue of the lighting, the indirect type lighting, been addressed as part of this, or is this something that we should take up with the applicant?
Well, no, I don't think there's any issue with the site lighting. The site lighting is addressed, and you can be assured it's always addressed when we bring these projects to you. I think what was brought up was cars exiting the site with their headlights.
Commissioner Moreno? I'd just like a clarification on 10. Are we removing that or changing?
Yes, 10 was just removing that one sentence, one bulleted item, the one that's referring to accomplishing all of the landscape now, essentially, with the first building.
So the second bullet?
It's
there's four bullets.
Yes, here it is. It's up on the screen, the second
okay,
bullet.
Right.
That's correct. Thank you.
By the time you'd flashed that, I finally found it here. And I went, which one is it? Thank you. Commissioner O'Grady?
Signs. I was a bit confused by the staff report treatment of signs. What I understood from it, we're going to condition the project so that the signs meet the master plan of development and the municipal code. Well, don't projects have to meet the municipal code without conditioning them to do so?
They do, but when we bring a CUP before you, we also bring, 9 times out of 10, they'll have a sign program attached to it. In a sense, a sign program is what's on your drawings. And in calling this out specific to the Jack in the Box has shown 3 signs of a dimension and a location. So that's what you would be approving for Jack in the Box. There's not going to be a 4th sign. There's just going to be those 3. If they wanted to amend that, then there's an amendment process. So if they want more signage, then that could be in the master plan that you're approving tonight.
Okay, let me ask it this way then. Does the signage proposed meet the municipal code?
I'd have to take a look at it to tell you if it meets the minimum. But my more direct answer would be that what's proposed is what they are requesting. I know what you're asking for is additional analysis.
I'd just like to know if it deviates by how much, that's all.
I might be able to answer that tonight.
Okay. what happens with the existing Jack in the Box on El Camino? Do you know that, or should I reserve that question for the applicant?
I'm not sure if even the applicant knows that.
Oh,
okay. I don't know. It's
all
not
right.
Part of the application, but I honestly do not know.
Thought it might have come up in the conversation, but
okay. I think it's come up, but hasn't been answered.
Okay, Commissioners O'Keefe and Jack brought up site lighting, and just so that I understand it, I think you said something about that it was addressed, but was it addressed on the original staff report, your standard
yes.
conditions for cutoff fixtures?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm fine with the information presented for the Jack in the Box. We have some drawings, but we have conditions. But a gas station to me is another matter. And when we approve this separation, where does that leave us with respect to when a gas station or something else comes along? What happens? Does it come back to the commission, or if we approve this split tonight, is that it?
That's a good question. What happens is if a gas station did come to the site and it was consistent with what you're approving tonight, staff would have the ability to process that into building permits, and it would not come back to you. If a gas station came in a different format, a different location, and beyond what we refer to as the 10% in terms of the building size and shifting it around, then all of a sudden everything else starts shifting around, like not quite as bad as what's – or quite as different as what's happened tonight with this application, that would come back to you. If a different use comes up and the gas station is never developed, that comes back to you. So everything that's here is what's – approvable by staff. If it changes, then it's coming back to you.
Okay. Just to follow up on that, and not having seen the original staff report nor the conditions that were attached to that, you know, gas stations have potentially some special environmental mm-hmm. challenges with fuel storage and spill prevention and other things that I'm not conversant with, but they're certainly different from other types of buildings, and I guess I need to ask how comfortable staff feels with what's gone before as as far as that analysis is concerned.
Well, there's probably a little bit of an answer from staff and maybe some more from the applicant. If the project could not meet all the requirements from other agencies, whether the water quality, air quality, hazardous materials criteria, then the project wouldn't be able to go forward in even distance to residential, which probably would be the most significant issue with putting a service station in that location. Our understanding is the possibility of a service station in that location is probably minimal at best. But from there, I'm sure the applicant can talk to you about that as well. I did explain it earlier that in the presentation that tonight the Jack in the Box is primary. We're not sure what's really going there, so the most likely scenario that to show that the site stays fairly consistent is to show the service station still in place, and however the market goes will dictate what kind of commercial development we have on the site, the rest of the site.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Commissioner Marks.
Steve, I'd like to get back to signs. I noticed that there is not a large, tall sign as there is across the freeway, Tasty Freeze. There isn't one listed here. Is that correct?
Yeah, I could only hear part of that question.
Again, signs. I notice that in this report there is no discussion of a tall
okay.
sign.
Yes, okay.
Is that correct?
There is no discussion because there's no change in it. There were two pole signs approved for the site, but they're not part of the request. So they're already part of the master plan, and there's a location for them. And, in fact, they were a criteria for the hotel to go on its site. So they're all set in place. And beyond that, one is already ordered and approved for construction. I think one or both.
Okay. So they're not tall signs.
Yes, they are freeway-oriented signs, and there are two of them.
Okay.
Commissioner Jack?
Steve, the question I've got is there's that one other sign on the southern entrance off of West Front. Is that going in at this time, or will that be done at a later time?
I'm not sure. Maybe we can ask the applicant on the timing on the second sign. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner O'Keefe?
With regard to the pole signs, which will answer your question, yes, those were approved and they exceeded the height, so an exception was made on those. I, too, had a question about the signage on the drive-through, and this is what Kelly sent me. She said, the center signage was originally very vague and conceptual. The project was conditioned to allow for a maximum of 20 feet of signage for each business. Jack in the Box is requesting larger signage. The signage is scaled appropriately to the building architecture. So I had a question about that. And then under condition 10, it says all landscaping shall be drought tolerant. But there's a southern magnolia that's proposed as one of the trees in there. And those are typically swamp trees. How did that happen?
Well, the conditions override what's on the site plan, so or on the landscape plan. So if there are non-drought resistant materials in the landscape palette, then those would be changed out for something that would be drought resistant.
Oh, I never knew there were all those exceptions. I always just read it quite literally that all landscaping shall be drought tolerant.
If it says all landscaping shall be drought tolerant, then that's what we aim to achieve.
Okay, well, I just want to alert you that there
is a
southern magnolia proposed.
Sure, and as you deliberate, if you would like to call that out, you can call that out in a motion as well.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Any other questions? I have a couple. On looking at the plans, I couldn't find a bike rack. Is there one available at the site?
I'm going to have to take a look at the large drawings. I believe there is a bike rack, but
okay.
Let me take
and
a look.
Also, the staff report talked about some outdoor dining area, but I couldn't locate where that was. Could you point that out?
Well, that's something that I'm not completely clear on if they're going to be able to achieve that. We were making a suggestion that there would be one, and that's what it says in the staff report, although we don't see one here. The area that the planner was looking at was in this location, but I know the applicant has some concerns about going any further with outdoor dining in terms of conditioning it because they're not sure that Jack in the Box is going to be able to achieve that in this design, and that did have to do with ADA access, getting free, easy access around this building in and out of the site.
Okay, and could you put up the slide that showed the area that would actually have paving done and the area that would be left graded?
Sure. It's not much different than that other slide, but it has some color on it. There we go. Okay, so, yes, it looks like there will be a connection from the Holiday Inn that's completed, that drive aisle and parking along the front here, the entry, and continuing to the Jack in the Box. So there would be vehicular and pedestrian travel capability through the site.
I have a question regarding the drive-through. If I'm seeing this correctly, if you went in the Portola Road entrance, you would go behind the building and circle around and then come out again facing Portola. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's say I was coming from the south and I went in at the west front entrance. I would kind of cut into the queue there for the drive-through. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so where would the boxes be where you order? Would they be further up so that a person couldn't order if they came in off of West Front?
Would they be further up? Where are the boxes? The boxes looks, you can actually see, you can barely see it here. It looks like there's an order menu here and a box located here. It's very clear from my experience with these types of facilities that it is going to be along this edge here.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any more questions for staff? Seeing none, I'd like to open it to the public and ask the applicant to address us first.
Yes, ma'am.
Good
There. Is that better? Okay, Russ Thompson from R. Thompson Consulting here in Atascadero representing the owners. First of all, we'd like to thank Warren and his staff for all their help in getting this staff report to you and this project to you in a timely fashion. We do appreciate that. With me tonight are the West Front Village owners, Richard Shannon, John Rossetti, and Jim Shores are here. And I believe Richard would like to address the commission after I'm done. Also here with us tonight is the architect for Jack in the Box, Mr. Steve Schneider. We're in agreement with the revised conditions of approval and appreciate staff working with us on clarifying those points. We feel like the proposed architecture will be consistent with the approved Holiday Inn Express and will be kind of a seamless look for the center. That's their goal. And so we feel like the final architecture being consistent with what's been presented tonight will be a high-quality commercial center for Atascadero. I think, as Steve mentioned, there's been a great deal of progress on this site. The owners are looking forward to continue moving forward with the project and finding lessees and potential owners for the other commercial sites and eventually completing the residential component of the project. There's been a with all the progress on this site, there's been a great deal of work obtaining permits. The Army Corps of Engineers, Fish and Game, and Water Quality Control Board permits for the wetland area and the wetland mitigation plan has been completed, and that document and those plans were issued prior to the plans for the subdivision improvements. Were improved all at one time, and so that all of the water quality issues, the wetland mitigation, and the detention basin for hydraulic purposes was all approved at one time for the entire center. And this document takes a complete look at the entire project as it was originally proposed, and we feel like these changes that we're proposing are minor and don't affect the permitting or the project as it's described in the wetland mitigation plan. The pylon sign, I think, as Steve mentioned, the permit has been issued for the first or the pylon sign, and construction has started on that, and that is going to proceed as quickly as possible so that sign is finished. The materials have been ordered, and that's in progress. Again, just touching maybe a little bit on the wetland mitigation, the layout that is before you tonight slightly increases the amount of wetland mitigation area. So we feel that that's a positive, that we were able to get the site plan that was achieved the owner's goals, and at the same time a minimal increase in the proposed or required wetland mitigation area per the approved permit. Also, at this time, the arborist work and arborist report for the oak tree near the Portola Road entrance has been completed. And I think we'd just like to emphasize that the first phase of this project, the Jack in the Box, would construct access between Holiday Inn Express and the Jack in the Box site. And then market forces are just going to determine what uses and what specific businesses come into that second future phase. And that may involve coming back in front of this commission. But until, you know, a tenant is identified and firmed up, that, you know, we really don't know. I think we want to keep this as simple as possible. That the request simply is to just separate the two buildings, keep the architecture consistent. The site plan and the traffic flow is very similar to what was originally proposed. The driveway entrances off the public roads have been established and laid out per the public improvement plan, so there's no change there. I'm here to answer any questions you might have, and the owners are here, as I said, and the architect for Jack in the Box, if you have any specific questions of them.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Sure. Let's go ahead with Mr. Shannon next, and then we'll take our questions.
Honorable Commissioner and Chairperson Fonzie, thank you for having us tonight. My name is Richard Shannon. I'm a partner in Westfront Village, LLC. As I stated, my other partners are here with me, along with the architect for Jack in the Box and Russ Thompson. We wanted to let you know that we concur with the staff report as modified by Senior Planner Steve McCarris. We feel that, the water quality control issue has been completely taken care of by we've gone through an extensive permitting process with the Army Corps of Engineers, Regional Water Quality Control Board, and Department of Fish and Game. We had to coordinate the three agencies along with the city to get our permits for those detention basins and all that drainage on the site. And we have a specific plan that includes us having a monitoring by a biologist for a two-year period after we install the landscaping and during the landscape installation phase. So this plan is complete. We have to follow that plan. Any mitigations, any modifications to that plan would have to go back through all those agencies for reapprovals, which, again, about 95% of the drainage on the site is already complete. So it's almost an impossible task to stick us with conditions that we've already put things in. So we asked it, and I think staff recognized that after they had wrote that. I went in and said, pointed out to them, and I think they realized that that's not reasonable to request that of us. We did want to make sure that you're clear that the area marked future development. Currently, we are talking with tenants for those sites, but we do not have tenants for either site. We are pursuing a restaurant and a gas station. We do have issues with the APCD, which is the Air Pollution Control District, on the gas station site. They are limiting us to a number of gallons, which is not feasible for the site. And probably, my gut feeling is that we will be back to you in short order with a change to that, because it doesn't look like that's going to be feasible there. It might be, but currently we currently don't have a tenant for it, and we're having problems with the APCD. We also wanted to let you know, in addition to this application, we've been diligently working with staff on an improvement to our housing element. So we've been working on new plans for the housing element, and we should be coming back to the commission along with some minor clarifications on all the project probably within the next month or two with the housing element. So we are trying to move forward with this whole project in these tough economic times, and we are making improvements to it as we go. And I think, as you can see from the quality of the Holiday Inn that's gone up there, we're trying to stay with that quality throughout this project. And I think the Jack in the Box building has been modified to basically, we're working with staff again. We've matched the architecture from the Holiday Inn with that Jack in the Box building, and I think you will see a first-class quality drive-through there. Part of our marketing, just so you guys know, everybody tells us we want a sit-down restaurant at Atascadero. Well, John Rossetti is a commercial real estate broker in San Luis Obispo, and I could tell you from our marketing experience is that having a Holiday Inn constructed and a Jack in the Box under construction, we now have two national tenants on our site. That's going to make it a lot easier for us to attract a sit-down restaurant to this site. So one of the reasons why we are pushing to get this project approved is because that's going to help us with marketing that sit-down restaurant site. So with all this in mind, we'd like to ask you guys that you basically, like Russ said, what we're doing here is taking a project that was all previously approved and pulling apart two buildings. And that's all we're doing. We're not changing any uses. We're not doing anything else. We're just pulling apart two buildings and making the architecture match the Holiday Inn that's already there. So with that in mind, we'd like to ask you guys that you approve this project. And we are here to answer any questions that you may have. The architect is here from the Jack in the Box. He can tell you how he worked with staff on getting the design to where it is. I tell you, we did go through several go-arounds to get there. And likewise, the elevations and the site plan for the future phases, those are totally conceptual. Don't have those tenants. We don't need to use a lot of time on them. They're not, at this point, they're not real. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Would the architect also like to speak?
Good evening. My name is Steve Schneider with Lyons Warren Associates. I won't speak much other than to introduce myself and thank staff also on behalf of Jack in the Box for pushing this before you quickly so we can get it. There are some real estate agreements that we're trying to get moving on this thing and time frames, and time was definitely of the essence, and they definitely helped us out with that. Other than that, if you have any questions regarding the building design or operation, I'd be glad to answer them for you.
Thank you, Mr. Schneider. I'm going to open this to the commission for questions, and I may ask either of you or some of you to come forward. Commissioner Hetherington?
My first two questions are for the architect. Could you give us some insight as to what will happen to the present Jack in the Box uptown?
As far as I know, nothing. It'll just continue to operate. They did. My firm actually just recently did the plans for the remodel of that store. So they just invested tens of thousands of dollars into that building to freshen up the interior and make it ADA compliant and so on. So typically there's no, we don't invest in that sort of thing if there's any plans to close it or anything like that. So as far as I know, status quo would be what the plan for that building.
Can you tell me also if Jack in the Box lists fat content, calorie, and sodium on their products that they sell in the store?
I can't tell you that. I design the exterior of the buildings. I don't operate the design of their menu.
No, so you can't say yes or no?
I can't say yes or no.
Thank you.
Commissioner O'Grady?
I would like to compliment your development group on your success in moving forward with this project. Everybody knows these are tough economic times, but you know, I think success, particularly during hard times, is a function of the competence of the group. And so I think your success here says a lot about your capabilities. As you know, Atascadero is plagued right now by some half-finished or not started developments that are blighting our city, both aesthetically as well as economically. And so I was very pleased to see the finished part along the frontage road all the way as part of the current phase. I did want to ask, though, when you develop those future phases back there, how are you going to get in and out of there with the construction vehicles anyway, I assume you've thought of that. And I also wanted to know how tall the pylon signs are.
The project was approved for 250-foot pylon signs, which is the city ordinance. And those permits have already been pulled, and those pylon signs are actually under construction already.
Okay.
So they'll both be up within 2 weeks, probably.
Any other questions, Commissioner O'Grady?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Jack?
My question is going to come out of left field a little bit, and it's for Mr. Thompson. And it basically has nothing to do with the project. It has to do with the copies of the plans that... My question is, were the local printers given an opportunity to bid on the production of these plans, which I noticed are from Blue Printer in Paso Robles? And it's only because of the times and our situation, and I'm using this as a forum to kind of remind people that as they're working on projects here, that we'd appreciate all the business that we can get kept here in the city.
I think from time to time, we use a number of printers on this project. I think the local architect, not Steve's group, but local architect had the printing done, so I couldn't tell you how that transpired.
I just wanted to make the point. I've already called the printers. I already know that they couldn't handle, at least one of them couldn't handle the job per se. So, but I just wanted in this forum to reaffirm the point for people that are doing business with us that would like to keep as much of the business within the city of Atascadero as possible.
Yeah,
thank you very much, Mr. Thompson.
It goes for civil engineering, too.
Yes, I hear you.
Good point. Commissioner O'Keefe.
I have a question for Mr. Shannon.
Yeah.
First of all, I do want to compliment you on how nice the hotel has turned out. And I think having those wetlands, while they were a real pain with regard to the engineering and everything, it's going to add a lot more landscaping than probably would have been there. It's going to be a very attractive addition to the city. But what is the problem with APCD and a gas station? Can you elaborate? I mean, is it where the location is that they will only allow a certain amount of gas to be pumped, or what's the issue?
I wasn't at the meeting. John was there, but apparently they were limiting us on the number of gallons that we can pump there because of the closeness to the residential. And it is a point that can be argued with them, but it's a point that costs a lot of money to argue with them, and we currently don't have a tenant for that site, so it's not a point we're going to argue with them. And We've been studying the site quite a bit, and like I said, John's a commercial real estate broker and works throughout the San Luis Obispo County. All he does is commercial real estate. I do both, but we've had good success on this site so far because we've been able to market it as a highway frontage commercial site, and there's two gas stations across Santa Rosa already. It's very likely that in the near future we may be back to you with a different use for that site. Because we think we could possibly fill it up with maybe a food court or something of that nature, which might be more suitable.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
But we can't, until we have those plans confirmed, you know, I don't want to say that we do.
Sure, thank you.
Okay.
Commissioner Hetherington?
I had a question for Mr. Thompson. You stated that you had gotten all your approvals from Department of Fish and Game, Army Corps, and the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Now that the project changed, do you need to go back to them?
I think when the construction drawings are finalized, we probably will send them a courtesy copy. I know, like on the SWIP document, you would want to have a current construction document and a current erosion control plan. But that's a standard that anytime a project changes or there's any kind of a change, you would update the permits and the agencies with current plans. But my thinking was with the mitigation plan being approved, and we're not making it smaller, we're making it, you know, maybe 5% larger. You know, I don't see them having a problem with that because it would create a bigger wetland or a bigger area.
I have a real problem with taking out the portion about the biofiltering. If that were that small phrase added to number 11, regulatory agency permitting, would you be comfortable with that?
Well, my firm wasn't involved with the permitting, but I know from going through that same process on other projects, it's extremely rigorous with Army Corps of Engineers, Fish and Game, Water Quality Control, the biologist, the different specialists went through, exhaustive study and plan generation of plans and documents and monitoring programs, that all of those things are taken into account in the design. I don't think that when they looked at this project and the site plan that's in the permit documents is essentially the same drawing, you know, that we have or you have in front of you, the same amount of square footage of pavement, you know, within a certain tolerance, you know, but it's essentially the same site plan. And they would consider oily residue, sediment off a developed site, sediment during construction, the types of plants, so that it'll uptake oil and the different water quality issues. That all of that was taken into consideration in the development of that plan, and I don't think adding it now would be adding a layer that has already been incorporated into the drawings or into the permit.
Commissioner Moreno.
I was wondering when the project would be estimated to be complete, the current phase.
The Jack in the Box?
Mm-hmm. And the landscaping and everything.
You could probably ask Steve. I know just from my perspective, it seemed like there is, you know, some urgency to get this plan approved, get the construction documents approved, pull permits so they can move forward. But they might be able to answer that. But from my perspective, there is certainly urgency. That's why it's got to you in fairly quick order, this approval tonight, so they can continue to move forward.
And it is quite attractive, so thank you.
The simple answer to that is if it were approved tonight, the construction documents would be submitted within 30 days. The construction would start immediately when permits are available, which means we'd be pressuring everybody here to approve them as soon as possible. And then the building would be open within 90 days after that.
Oh, wow. And so, this would bring just some work for local, you know,
sure,
contractors and everything.
Yeah, so you're essentially, the part we're in control of, you're talking about 120 days plus the approval time, whatever that is.
Thank you.
Commissioner Jack?
I'd just like to add my compliments to other commissioners, Mr. Shannon, you and your partners, and it will be a very attractive, I believe, section from Santa Rosa down to Portola there, and the architecture. I've been in the Holiday Inn already, and I was out there today, and again, thank you for the contribution to the city.
Any other questions?
I have a question for the architect, Mr. Schneider. And first, I'd like to say you incorporated a lot of the elements from the Holiday Inn. I was very pleased at the appearance of the Jack in the Box. It's definitely a cut above.
Good.
We did not receive a palette of colors for the building, and I was wondering, what color will the Jack in the Box building be?
The building's going to use the same palette as the Holiday Inn. So the materials, the colors, and everything are intended to be the same color palette.
Okay, very good. And I did have a question for staff, and I wasn't sure that I got the full answer regarding the outdoor dining. Could you address that, please?
We do not have intentions to install outdoor dining. Typically, it's more of a nuisance than we find it's worth. It tends to be a loitering point for high school kids. Items like that tends to cause more trouble than it's worth. In the site, around the building, as you can see, is somewhat tight. There's no real large area that really lends itself to an outdoor dining either, and it doesn't position it. The small area that is available doesn't position itself well for viewing from the inside of the building, which is another key element. They always want to be able to see it almost all the time. Because, like I said, and historically they've done outdoor dining, and historically it's always been a problem. It just becomes out of sight, out of mind. People tend to take advantage of it.
Okay, yeah, that answers that one. And one last question. This one you may not know, but I know the Jack in the Box downtown stays open quite late, and I wondered what the hours of operation would be.
Typically, we ask for 24-hour operation. Usually, we let the market dictate what happens. Most cases on a building of this type, the dining room would close, and it would just offer drive-through only operation through the night if it's supported. Typically, it's a case by case. If there's no market for it, then it would go away. But typically, it's case by case. But they start, you know, if there's a need and a perceived sales to be made, then they'll try and go for it. But otherwise, it'll whatever the market will bear, essentially.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Sure.
I'd like to open this to the public if you'd like to speak or anyone would like to approach the podium on this. Seeing none, I close the public comment portion and bring it back to the commission for deliberation.
If there's no deliberation, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Go ahead, Commissioner O'Keefe.
Okay, I move that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2008-0040 to approve amendments to the West Front Village Master Plan of Development based on findings and subject to amended exhibits and changes, amending Condition 10 and deleting Condition 12 and 15.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Jack. Roll call vote, please.
Just one minor
discussion?
Point. Yes.
Go ahead.
I wonder if the makers of the motion would consider a minor modification to Condition 13, It's third bullet. The proposed fast food signage shall include 3 5-foot by 5-foot building mounted signs and shall conform to Exhibit F. The staff report says that it shall not exceed, and I would like to change the word include to not exceed, consistent with the staff report.
Does staff have a problem with that?
The only comment I would make on it, actually the question might be better directed to the applicant, but there was a question about signage, and this is definitely below the maximum signage that would be allowed by the sign code. With the 5 by 5, that's 3, so we have 75 square feet. And the code allows up to 125 square feet.
Okay. I just assumed, my position is I'd like to leave it the way it is because it doesn't exceed the signage.
If it said shall include and be limited to, then just shall include, I think a lawyer would say it could include more than that. But as long as it includes 3 5 by 5, it could include an additional 4 by 6, the way I read it. But I'm just throwing that for all your consideration.
My question is, you're saying it doesn't exceed the signage. Are you allowing for flexibility? Is that what it is? Or
since it's not clear, you could allow for flexibility. If it stays unclear, I believe that we would interpret the sign code. So the 3 that are shown, we'd be expecting, and there might be flexibility for some additional signage.
Okay, but it says shall include 3. So you're saying there could be more than 3.
There could be more. And what you might want to do, since you're discussing it, is decide how much if you want to.
I think
want to give staff direction through the condition.
Issue. Okay. So, what was your?
Back to the applicant.
Because what was presented to us was 3, and so if there had been more. It's like I don't want any surprises.
Right. The intent of the staff report on page 64 says conditions of approval have been added to ensure that the signage does not exceed this proposed amount.
Okay.
So I'm just suggesting that one way to do that is to change the word include to not exceed.
Okay, not exceed. I'm comfortable with that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Commissioner Jack, is the change?
That's okay. Fine.
Okay.
That's
fine. All right.
Very good. Suzanne, did you get the change? The change that it will include but not exceed. Very good. Discussion?
No, it's. I think you. Did you leave the word include in?
Well, I was going to strike include. It just
that's
shall not exceed
yeah.
that. I think that's clear.
Okay. So we'll change that to shall not exceed. Any further discussion on the motion before we vote? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
No.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Chairperson Bonzi?
Yes.
Results, motion passed 6-1.
Thank you, Suzanne. That concludes our public hearing portion, and we'll go to community development staff report.
No reports tonight.
Okay. Commissioner comments and reports?
Can I ask the
Let's start at this end, and we will move on. Commissioner Hetherington?
I was curious with staff about why we received the notice from U.S. Fish and Wildlife about the Delta smelt. Could you tell me where they're located in Atascadero?
Yeah, I think they just did a broadcast of probably all the areas that are affected by state water project. Delta smelt's affected by state water. State water doesn't go to Atascadero, but it does go through Atascadero to serve San Luis and some of the South County. So I imagine that's why we receive some notification.
Do we know if there's any Delta smelt in our area?
No, but state water is the thing that's affecting them.
Commissioner Moreno?
I was going to ask the applicants. I never know if these can be reused. I think these have to be costly, and I want to be able to give them back to the applicants if they can.
If you give them to us, we can give them back to them.
What do they do with them if you give them back?
I don't know. Sometimes
I just recycle. No, we end up throwing away a lot of paper here.
I think so.
Unfortunately,
I agree. Any other commissioner comments? Commissioner O'Keefe.
I believe we all received a letter. It's unsigned, and I'd like to read it. Planning commissioners, I'm writing reference to Kennedy Motorcycles at the corner of El Camino Real and Traffic Way. Last fall, when they received approval to open, although they already were, in parentheses, much was said about the fact that this was an inappropriate business for our downtown. I don't need to go into the details. You were there. The applicant and supporter spoke about how this business would clean up the corner, paint the building, clean up the trash behind to improve the look from the freeway off-ramp. Additionally, they promised only to sell motorcycles. Now, less than a year later, I direct your attention to the sign in the front offering tire replacement. Sounds like maintenance to me. And to the multiple banners affixed to the rear of the building offering an ugly view for vehicles exiting 101 and entering what should someday be one of our gateway entrances. It is my opinion that they have violated the conditions of their conditional use permit and should be closed immediately. Apparently, the writer thinks that the commissioners have some ability to do something about this. So what happens, because we can't file code violations, and obviously this person does not want to do it, so how does staff handle something like this? And this has come up before, because I had received calls, and staff had been notified that. I just, you know, had told you that I had received calls.
Well, this is a good place to bring these issues up. We are aware of that. We have sent Kennedy a letter, I think, within the last 2 months regarding the banners and some of the concerns we had with outdoor display of that sort of thing. I do believe there's still an issue with the banners. Let us follow up, and we'll bring you back a report and just let you know the status of it. But we are aware of it, and we're trying to get them into compliance so that we don't have any more issues.
There's the wreckage of a camper shell back behind there as well. I don't know if you were aware of that.
Well, okay. I think myself and I think it was Commissioner Hetherington, I'm not sure, there were two of us who voted against this because we recognized that there were could be a lot of issues.
And staff just reminded me that the camper shell is actually on a separate lot. There's two lots there, so the motorcycle shop is on a lot, and then that grass area where they kind of wraps around is a separate lot.
And who owns that lot?
I think it's the Gons, actually.
Yeah, that's, yes. Yeah, I was slipped my mind. Yeah, Pat Gon owns it.
Just a question on that same subject. Because the letter is unsigned, it's not truly a complaint. Is that correct?
Well, it hasn't come in through the proper channels as a complaint. Needless to say, we're already aware of these issues and we're already working on them. So we don't need a formal complaint because we're already working on the issue.
Okay, very good. So it's not something the commission needs to take any further at this point?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, may I ask a question? Because now I'm confused. Because you're working on it, but if you were not working on it, then what would happen? Because it's not a formal complaint.
I think the Planning Commission assembled as they are, if you were to give us direction on any compliance-type issue, if you wanted us to follow up on and bring you back a report, you definitely could do that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and Commissioner O'Grady had mentioned another item that you'd like to discuss.
Yes, thank you for remembering. And I think Director Frace was going to speak about his July 22nd memo on the Eagle Creek neighborhood petition.
Yes, the commission, council, and staff have received copies of petitions from the neighborhood located down around the former Eagle Creek golf course location. As you'll recall, we did an amendment to the master plan and general plan, I think it was early 2008 this year, that was finally approved. We approved a new site landscaping and grading plan that would remove the existing golf course, re-landscape that area. In exchange for that, the existing clubhouse and an old shop building that looks like a house on Atascadero Road would be converted into single-family residential, and there was a parcel map that split that into two separate lots so those two houses could be approved. So that was all approved. What that petition's asking for, I think there's obviously some frustration in the neighborhood with the lack of progress on the project. Most of the things that are in that petition are already requirements of the project. There is, I think, one of the requests is to change the landscaping. The landscape plan is approved. That was approved by the commission and council. That would require an amendment. We've talked to the one of the representatives of the neighborhood group. We sent them a letter a week and a half ago explaining what the amendment process would be if they wanted to change or reduce or modify the landscaping requirements in that area, would have to go through an amendment process. So they have the paperwork there, or the representatives aware of that process. Just in terms of the status of the project, we did receive an application for a final map earlier this year, which was the first normal step in the process. There was corrections requiring the landscape plan and some additional site improvement plans. Those were not resubmitted when the map was resubmitted a second time. I believe the last time we saw the map was probably late spring. There's been no action since then on the project. So it doesn't appear right now that we're making substantial progress on the project.
A question? When you say you've informed... I guess you said the neighborhood representative about the amendment process. Isn't it the applicant, though, that has to?
Yes. And that was in our letter, is that only the applicant or property owner can apply for the amendment, and we've tried to explain to them how that would work.
So any... If there are further delays and the neighborhood group is finally to the point where they need to do something, I mean, that something is not through the city. That something would be a legal action that they would initiate, or is there anything else that the neighborhood group could do via the, via the city to accelerate their needs or this project that we discussed last spring or whenever that was, a long time ago?
At this point, the project's not out of compliance with our city process. We do have a map that was in. It's out for corrections. Everyone was hopeful it would move more quickly, but the city doesn't have a way to compel it more quickly. There was some issues with the weeds out there. I believe that's been taken care of. That's the only true nuisance abatement that the city has an interest in. So from the city standpoint, we're very limited on speeding the project up. There may be other mechanisms available to private property owners, but that would be outside the city process.
Commissioner Jack?
There was a comment about name badges. Some of the commissioners do not have name tags.
Who doesn't have a name tag? And we'll take care of that. Okay. Marks, Hetherington, Moreno, and O'Grady. So I imagine Annette will get right on that for us.
Thanks, Annette.
Commissioner O'Keefe, going back to the Eagle Creek, I've also heard from some people that they believe that Mr. Gerhardt is either using the clubhouse as an office and or to live in. He has moved out of his house. Have you heard that from other people?
I think we've heard that. We actually went out there just to take a look. We didn't see any evidence to confirm that. So we don't think that's actually the case.
Okay.
Any other commissioner comments or reports? Seeing none, I'll move on to director's report.
Our next meeting is August 19th, and I think that concludes my report.
Could you tell us what's on the agenda?
What's going to be? Yeah.
You can't get away that easy, Warren.
Yeah, you know, I can't get to it on this computer. I lost my laptop, and this new laptop doesn't get to that program, so I can't tell you. Do you remember, Steve?
You know, it's all tentative, but I know we have a tree removal permit. We may have another map extension. We may have. Do you remember anything else? There were only two or three items. They were minor. No major projects. And, yeah, and they're tentative. We're not sure yet.
Okay, very good. Seeing no other business, adjourn the meeting. Thank you.